You may be seated. For the last 3 years, I've gotten to curate our Good Friday time. 3 years ago, we looked at the biophysiological effects of crucifixion and what that would mean for Jesus. And 2 years ago, we looked at what it meant to lay our sins at the cross with Jesus. And last year we looked at what it looks like for God to be in control in the midst of everything. We thought that was timely because of something called COVID-19. This year we want to take a step back and take a bird's eye view of what Good Friday means to our faith. But before we do that, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, this evening we join with Christians all over the globe to pause and in common faith and unity remember one thing, and that is the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. God, we sang about an old rugged cross that we would ever be true. And yet, Father, it seems like so often that cross is but a distant memory. And rather than cherishing the rugged nature of that cross, we often want the glitter and the gold of a nicely polished one. Father, this evening, open our hearts. May your Spirit speak to us, and may we see you anew. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was told recently that Sunday is the Super Bowl for Christians. And in fact, Easter is one of the busiest days for visitors to visit the Holy Land, or to attend Mass at St. Peter's, or to visit any number of churches. Easter is one of the busiest times for churches. In fact, Good Friday, on the other hand, is not as well attended. And many of you have heard of something called the Easter Bunny that secular society has honored to celebrate. I've never heard of a Good Friday bunny. Secular society creates all these things that we do, like Easter egg hunts and dressing up special on Easter and Easter brunch. But secular society has not caught on to what Good Friday means. In fact, there's a group of believers we call Christmas and Easter Christians because they think that Christmas and Easter are the only days important enough for them to show up. But I don't know anybody who calls themselves a Good Friday Christian. But I'd like to suggest tonight that that's a mistake. Easter is not the Super Bowl for Christians. It's more like the victory parade and the celebration. The Bible claims that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Savior of the world, part of the Godhead, equal to God the Father, but in submission to Him, present at creation, and through whom all things were made, and without which nothing was made that exists. The Bible records miracles done by Him, and those are attested to in secular literature. The Bible records prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus. But yet, we consider his resurrection to be the stamp and ultimate confirmation of his identity. The Apostle Paul himself says, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we are wasting our time and we should be pitied. So Easter is definitely important. But while it confirms his identity, it is Good Friday that really tells us who he was, who we are, and what the world is really like. And in that sense, Good Friday brings more to our faith than Easter. Imagine if Jesus told us that bacon was better than sausage, or that chicken thighs were better than chicken breasts, or that Brussels sprouts taste better roasted than steamed, and that red rice is better than brown rice. As the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Savior of the world, he would have the authority to say all of those things. But they would be inconsequential for our lives. and they wouldn't reveal anything about who he is and who we are in relation to him and what the world is really like. Think of it this way. When you watch a football game or a basketball game and you already know the outcome, you don't pay attention to the game and you miss a lot of the details and the drama. Even when I watch a recorded game, if I don't know the outcome, I might pace and I might yell at the TV screen and I might get sweaty and my heart might start palpitating because I feel the drama of the game and I watch each moment in the game and I watch each play and I start to get involved in the drama of the story. But far too often, because we know about Easter, we fail to get into the Good Friday story and we fail to get into the message of what Good Friday means for our lives. So this evening, if you'll give me just a few minutes, I would like to explain to you why I think Good Friday tells us about the world, ourselves, and Jesus himself. And maybe I will convince you this evening to become a Good Friday Christian. When I think of Good Friday, the first thing that comes to mind is that Good Friday tells us that the world is full of evil. It's out there. Some of you will think you didn't need Good Friday to know that there was evil in the world. You've seen innocent lives murdered for no reason. We've seen genocide in Africa, South America, Asia, Europe, even in North America. We've seen humanity degraded, maybe even more in the last 50 years than in the prior 200, despite all the progress we've allegedly made. But you may not realize it. There are many people in the world who do not share that same view of history. You see, the Brahma Sutras of Hinduism claim that evil does not really exist, but that we only perceive differences in happiness and malice because of metaphysical constructs. Likewise, Buddhism says that there is no evil, just a negative point of view on things that don't really exist. And even naturalistic evolution says that evil is not real because death, murder, struggle are all part of making a better world. But Good Friday declares that evil is real and that evil is in the world. More than 30 times, Jesus will talk about evil in the world and will reference evil in relation to the cross. Likewise, the New Testament writers will talk about evil more than 60 times, and Peter, Paul, and John will all talk about evil in relation to the cross. We see evil in the grotesque manner in which Jesus was executed. We see evil in the false accusations laid against Jesus. We see evil in the release of a murderer in his place. We see evil in the betrayal by Judas and Peter. We see evil in those who mocked Jesus as he was beaten. We see evil in the mockery by those who watched him die. We see evil in Jesus being forsaken. And we see evil in people gambling for a dying man's clothes. We see evil in the darkness that comes over the land. We see evil in the temple curtain being torn in two. Good Friday tells us that evil is real and present in the world. But not only that, Good Friday tells us that sin is real. Now, for some of you, that automatically ties into the idea that evil is real. But you see, it's really easy for us to think of evil as out there. It's a different thing to think about sin in here. You see, very few of us will think of ourselves as evil, but many more of us should think of ourselves as sinners. Jesus undergoes a grotesque, tortuous, humiliating death because of sin. There are several occasions when Jesus refers to sin as the cause of his death. In John chapter 8, Jesus will say, "Unless I be lifted up, you will die in your sin." Not only that, when Jesus is sharing his last supper, he takes the cup and he pours it out and says, "This is the blood, my blood of the new covenant, given for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus at the cross declares that it is not just evil that causes him to die on the cross, but it is our sin, collectively and individually. This is an unpopular truth for our day. It's more popular to just say Jesus died for us because he loves us. And we like the idea of a sacrificial love. And while Jesus did die because he loved us, and while Jesus did die a sacrificial death for us, love would not have had to die for us if it were not for our sin. Good Friday declares not just that there's evil in the world, but that we have sinned against God and against each other. I'm going to press in hard for a moment here, church. We live at a time where people don't believe in sin anymore. They don't like the term. They say it's too guilting and shaming. Psychologists will tell you you shouldn't talk about it because it might make people feel bad. And so instead we use euphemisms like psychological dissonance, ethical mistakes, and moral failures. And while all of those are aspects and expressions of sin, Jesus did not just die for the outward manifestation of sin in our lives, but Jesus died for the deep internal struggle of sin in our lives. Jesus didn't just die for the mistakes we would make because of sin. He would die for the sin inside each and every one of us. Jesus died for the parts we hide deep that people cannot see. In Hebrews chapter 2, it would tell us that we were slaves to sin and death, but that Jesus took on our humanity, became a slave to sin and death on our behalf, and because of his death on the cross, we would have freedom from sin. And so Good Friday tells us not just that there is evil in the world, but that sin is real. The third thing Good Friday tells us is that we could not do enough good on our own to earn our way to heaven or merit the favor of God. Good Friday tells us that Christianity is not a meritocracy. I don't know about you, but you probably grew up like me and you appreciate the idea of a meritocracy. I like meritocracy. I think I do anyways. I like the idea of a clear standard. You see, I was raised to work hard, get a good GPA, get good SAT scores, do varsity sports, do extracurricular activities, then get into a good college. Then you get to apply to a good graduate school, then you get a better job, and then you can live a little bit better than your parents. And in that way, you do better and you pass on better. And I like the idea that I could work hard, GPA, SAT, varsity sports, extracurriculars, and I'll get better. And part of me bristles at the idea that somebody with a lower GPA, a lesser SAT score, no varsity sports, no extracurriculars, would get not only into the same college, but get better financial aid. And all of us, if we're not careful, might admit that we struggle with this idea that somebody who does less could get the same or do better. And yet, Good Friday tells us that Christianity is not a meritocracy. Christianity tells us that no matter how much good we've done, we could not earn God's favor. That no matter how much good we've done, we can never meet the standard of a perfect, holy God. And so the cross reminds us that we cannot earn our salvation. That we cannot earn the favor of God. And while many of us will come to Good Friday acknowledging that we need a Savior who will die in our place, so many of us struggle because from this day forward, we still try to earn the favor of God. We struggle with anxiety, wondering, have we done enough to earn our way to heaven? We worry about people in our lives because we say, have they done enough to make it into heaven. We worry about people who we see doing things we don't think they should be doing, or not doing enough of the things we think that they should be doing, that we wonder if they're really saved. We wonder if we're saved because we have sins in our lives or we have fallen short. And even though we come to Good Friday where we declare that there is nothing we could do to earn the favor of God, we live like we think that we can earn the favor of God. We look at each other like we think we can earn the favor of God. And we treat other people like they should earn the favor of God. And lest you think that this is just a Christian problem, how often have you heard people complaining of Christians who don't live up to the call of God? How often have you looked at people who said, I can't go to church because those Christians are hypocrites? How often have you seen people say, I can't believe in God because look at his followers? And all the time I want to say, exactly. Because we are hypocrites, we needed a God who could go to the cross on our behalf. And yet, the way we live and we talk about others betrays that we, in some sense, live like we believe we can earn God's favor. If you could earn God's favor, if you could be good enough by what you did or how much you gave, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus would not have had to die a humiliating, torturing death if we could earn our path to heaven. If there was a viable alternative, then Jesus' death on the cross would not have been loving, but entirely cruel, sadistic, and evil. But if there is no other way, then we cannot help but come to Good Friday and be reminded that none of us is righteous. No, not one. The fourth thing that Good Friday reminds us of is that we have a lot more in common than we think. Right now, in our current time in history, people often talk about being on the right side of history. People are talking about our differences, black versus white, Latin versus Asian, Republican versus Democrat, progressive versus far right, liberal versus evangelical Christian, Catholic versus Protestant, rich versus poor, and the list goes on, in which people try to tell us how we are different. In fact, the trend towards intersectionality not only mentions difference, but it highlights differences. You see, we're no longer just people. We're no longer just men and women. But you become the black, fat, man, gender confused. You're the female, skinny, Hispanic, whatever. You're the... Intersectionality has taken humanity and said, rather than being all one, you're distinctly different and you're not like anybody else. And in our world, as people are divided, the world has continued to pursue more division, even in the name of saying we're going to pursue unity. But when we come to the cross says we have more in common than any of these differences. Because what draws us together is not the color of our skin, not our gender, not how smart we are, not our ethnicity, not how much money we make, not the people we know. But what draws us together is that in the midst of our sin, we had a Savior named Jesus Christ who died for us so that we would be one. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus' goal was to create one new humanity. And at the cross, at Good Friday, which declares all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it also declares that all of us are loved by the God who made the world and all that is in it. And that all of us have a place in his kingdom should we respond to his call. The cross on Good Friday declares that rather than being divided by any measure of mankind, we have more in common because we have a Savior who died for us to be together. Not only that, Good Friday tells us that there's a universal story we all fit into. You see, Good Friday tells us there's one story we all fit into. There's one story. God made the world and all that is in it. He made all of humankind. And sin entered the world that he made to be in relationship with. And because sin entered in the world, there was a rupture in our relationship, not just with each other, but with God. So Jesus came into the world to reconcile all of humanity to himself. And then because of his work in the world, he has started to begin the process of restoring all things to himself. And one day, the restoration of the world will be complete. And we will join him on that day because we are a part of the work he's doing. God put us into a story. That story started in creation, but went to the cross in the person of Jesus and called out to each and every one of us so that our story is not our sin. The story is not the mistakes of our forefathers, and the story is not the uncertainties we have about the future, but the story that God calls us into is a story where Jesus came in history, died on a cross, drawing all people to himself, so that today we can become a part of that story, where our lives are about following the Creator of heaven and earth, to join him in the restoration of all things, and to look forward to the day when that restoration will be complete. You see, the Good Friday tells us that we are all part of the same story. John 14:6 says this. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through me." Jesus says the universal story will come through him. And because of that, church, we can never write each other off. We can't ignore one another. We can't assume the worst about each other because the story doesn't belong to us individually. It belongs to us collectively. It's not my story. It's your story too. You see, I can't write you off because that same story that calls out to me in my sin is the same story that calls out to you in your sin. The same story that says God made you to be in relationship with him is the same story that says God made me to be in relationship with him. That same story does not allow me to write you off. We would dare not write anybody off because we know that the work of God is unfolding and that just like we are being made into the image of God day by day because of his work on the cross, we know that others are being made in the image of God, that they're being renewed day by day in his image as his Holy Spirit works in their lives. So we would dare not write off other people. We understand that we can never write other people off because we have more in common, because God has called us into that story and that story is still unfolding. We would never discount how God would work in each other's lives because God wants to work through us. He came to the cross to call us to himself, to ransom us from sin, and to give us new life. And that story that we're called into brings us together as we look forward to all that God will do. The sixth thing that Good Friday tells us, though, is that Jesus believed he was the answer to evil in the world. To sin in our lives and in the world, our inability to do good enough, and ultimately was the only one big enough to create one new humanity. Jesus went to the cross because he believed he was the way, the truth, and the life. He went to the cross because he believed unless he was lifted up, we would die in our sins. He said that he went to the cross because he would take on death for us, so that death would no longer have the victory over us. But maybe Jesus was crazy. Good Friday tells us that's what he believed. And today, in today's world, people like to say Jesus was a good man. He was smart. He was kind. But don't be deceived. If somebody were to tell you that they were going to be your savior, that all of humanity would be rescued because of them, that they alone would hold the answer to life, we know they would either be completely bonkers, unless it was true. And Jesus did not give us the option of thinking that he was just a good man. He's either bonkers, or his claim to each and every one of us is true. And lastly, Good Friday tells us that Jesus loves us and that his love is greater than our sin, regardless of what we think of him. One time I asked my dad what it was like, or how he learned to love my mom, and what made it hard to love my mom, and how he worked through that. And one day my dad, and when I asked my dad this, he looked at me and said, "I don't know how not to love your mom." And I've thought about that for so much of my married life. My dad said he didn't know how to not love my mom, because he had so loved my mom that the thought of not loving her didn't exist for him. And that's just a small thing. It doesn't even come close to Jesus. But that has helped me to so understand what Jesus did at the cross. You see, the cross declares that even when we will not understand Jesus, even when everything in us wants to run from Jesus, and when everything in our life tells us that, "Jesus, we don't want anything to do with you," Jesus still came. Jesus still went to the cross. He still bore humiliation and shame because he believed that his love for us was greater than our sin against him. And so when you think about your faith, as you think about celebrating on Easter, I want you to think about what Good Friday tells us about ourselves and the world we live in. Good Friday declares that evil is real. Good Friday declares that sin is real. Good Friday declares that we could not do enough, be enough, to earn our way into heaven. But Good Friday declares that we're part of a bigger story, God's story. Good Friday declares that we are part of his work in the world, and he calls out to us in Good Friday. Good Friday is a reminder that Jesus believed that he was the only way. And when we celebrate Good Friday, we declare that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the only one big enough to bring us together. And because of that, we would dare not write off one another. And we would dare not give up on one another either. And Good Friday declares that Jesus' love is greater than our sin. And so this evening, as you think about Good Friday, as you think about the cross, as you think about what it means for you, may you consider that you might just actually be a Good Friday Christian. Let's pray. Father, as we think about Good Friday, it's easy to be moved in a moment of emotion as we reflect on the cross. It's easy to be horrified as we think about what you went through, and it's easy to be moved by the idea of your love for us. But so often, Father, this world pulls on us, and we so easily drift with the trends of the world, and we find ourselves uttering nonsense about a God who is good, but not the only way. And we find ourselves believing that Jesus was a good person, and it's okay to believe you were just a good person. But we come to Good Friday and we realize, Lord, you didn't give us that option. So in the face of a world that would tell us that there are many ways, in a world that would tell us that we can be good enough, and in a world that says we don't need Jesus, remind us, Father, of what it means to be a Good Friday Christian. Father, help us in this moment to be still before you.